skip a few of the kinnas and go to the one that says Eicho Yoshua Chavatzelos Hashoren. The Eicho Yoshua Chavatzelos Hashoren. Chavatzelos Hashoren is a nickname for Klal Yisroel, used in Sheir Shirim. But the kinna speaks about the particular suffering of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. All of Klal Yisroel was changed and lost and was hurt and suffered because of the Churban. But the people, the part of Klal Yisroel that suffered the most was the Kohanim. They lived a life that was completely centered around the Beis HaMikdash. They came up there for 2 weeks during the year and for the Yom Tovim. And they did the Avoida, and prepared and learned the Hilchas Avoida. And their lives were completely intertwined with the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohanim lost everything that they had when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This kinna speaks about the suffering of the different mishpachas kahuna, about how various avoidas that it mentions became bottle, and how the kohanim could no longer dream and prepare to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Each stanza begins with a posik in the first kapitel of Eicha. You'll notice the Aleph Beis, Eicha Yoshua Chavatzelos, Bochei Sivke, Golso, and Darche. Each stanza begins with a word from the first kapitel of Eicha, posik by posik. It ends with, many of them end with names of Mishmoris of Kohuna. Some of them are Mishmoris that are mentioned in the Medrash, Mishpota, some of them are cities of Kohanim, Tzipporim in Beis Lechem, Yurpath, and the different locations that are mentioned here, all are associated with Kohanim. It's a little difficult to follow, but it's possible to keep the thread by looking at the kinna and sense the tsar and the pain of the Kohanim as they went through the Churban, and even Ad HaYom HaZeh. I'd like to just mention briefly something I never said before here. It was in connection with this. There was a Yid who years ago came to Rabar and Kotler Zecher Tzadok Livracha, and he asked him, he said, why is it that we're so sad? Tisha B'Av, we taka don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but look, we all return to Eretz Yisroel. Eretz Yisroel is now a Jewish Medina. Eretz Yisroel is now filled with yeshivas. And we experience part of the Geula. This was his time. So Rabaran told him, I'll tell you a little story. He said, during the time of the Churban, there were two Yidden who were taken into captivity. One was a Kohen and one was a farmer from the Gol Elyon. And they were both crying bitterly. Each one was speaking in sorrow over the whole life that he lost. The farmer was telling about the mitzvahs, Hatluyas Ba'oretz, how he was Mekayim Truma and Meiser, how he farmed his piece of land with his donkeys, and he did all the melochas, and he kept all the mitzvahs. And the Kohen was speaking about the avoid and the karbonis that he lost. And the Baron said that a couple of years later, these two people met again in Italy, and they recognized each other, and the Kohen began to cry over his loss, his korbonis, his avoida, and he had cried over his farm and his donkeys. And again they parted ways, and a couple of years later they met in Spain, and the same thing took place. And whenever they saw each other, they began to cry and bemoan the loss of what they had before the Churb. A couple of years later, they met each other in Poland, and the same thing took place. And shortly after that, they met each other in Eretz Yisroel. And the farmer came rushing to the Kohen and he said, "Ah, Kohen, do you realize what happened? I got back my donkey, I got back my piece of land." And the Kohen said, "Oh," he says, "you may have your donkey." He said, "but my Beis HaMikdash." My karbonis, my avoider, I have nothing of it. We're still in Golas. And that's something that you could sense when you go through the words of this kin.
The story of the death of Yoshio Hamela is one of the greatest tragedies. Yoshio was a king with a very, very great tzaddik. And he was brought up in a home where he knew nothing but Avodah Zarah. His father and his grandfather were a shoyim, and they let Pali throw down the road to Averis and Avodah Zarah. And he was 8 years old when his father Omein died, and he knew nothing of Yiddishkeit, and yet he sensed in his heart something that made him search and look, and he knew there was more than just those false things that he was experiencing. And when he was just a youngster, he began to ask, and he looked to people who would teach him about what real Yiddishkeit was all about. He was too young to run the kingdom. Others did it for him. But when he was finally 18 years old, he began to conduct the kingdom himself. And he decided that he's going to be a Oyvein Hashem, and he's going to bring Pali throne back to Tshuva. He began to go all over Eretz Yisrael and fix things up. And in earnest, when he was 31 years old, he was still a very young man, he took his armies and his people and went from home to home and got rid of the Avodah Zarah and trained people to go back to Torah HaKadosha and lead a Jewish life. And it was one of the greatest periods of tshuva in the history of Gaul Yisrael. We're told that there were many, many people who refused to go along with this tshuva movement. And they wanted to worship the Avodah Zarah of the day, and they would set up Avodah Zarah, split them in half, put one half on one side of the folding, swinging doors, and one half on the other side. And when the inspectors and the king came to check the house, they didn't see any Avodah Zarah. And when they left, the people closed the doors, and the halves of the Avodah Zarah would come together, and they would bow down to it and burn incense and worship it. And these Averis kept filing up despite all the wonderful, marvelous things that Yoshio was doing. And the Rebbeinu Shlom decided that Yoshio should be taken away from Klal Yisrael. One day he received a letter delivered to him from the king of Egypt, whose name was Parah Nechoi. And this Parah Nechoi said to Yeshiyahu, "I'd like to ask from you a favor. I have an enemy who's north of you in Aram, and I'm conducting a war with that king of Aram. I have nothing against you at all, but I'd like to have my armies pass through your country and travel through Eretz Yisrael and go to Aram so they could conduct the battle and win the war over there. And I'm it's going to do anything, it will just pass through the country without hurting anyone. Yeshayahu had remembered something that he learned. It says the Torah in the Bracha, in the Chukai Shai, Cherev Loisavar Be'asecha, that a sword shouldn't pass through your land. Chazal Darshan, the Cherev Loisavar Be'asecha, Zu Cherev Shal Yeshayahu. That when the Bracha is at its greatest, and when Klal Yisrael deserves all the good things happening to it, then even a passing army shouldn't be able to go through its sword. And Yoshio sent back a letter to Mitzrayim, and he said, I'm sorry, but I can't allow your army to pass through Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because this period that we're living here in Eretz Yisrael is a period of bracha. We did tshuva, and we deserve the greatest bracha. He didn't realize that behind the scenes there was a lot still that was missing from the tshuva, and they weren't yet holding by that level of bracha. And another thing, for the first time in his life, Yoshio didn't ask the person that always told him what to do. And that was the Novi Yirmiah. Yirmiah was the one who guided Yoshio and told him what to do. And always answered questions. This time Yoshio didn't ask. According to one man, Yoshio did ask Yirmiah, and Yirmiah told him not to go, and he went anyway. Whatever it is, Yoshio asked the large army to stop Harry from passing through the land. And they met the Egyptian army in the city of Megiddo. And the soldiers of Egypt, of Mitzrayim, were told by the commander, don't kill any Jews, just shoot all your arrows and all your weapons only against the king himself. And so when the armies of Klal Yisrael were approaching the Egyptians, they launched their full attack only against one person, Yoshio. And the arrows flew through the air, all against Yoshio. And Yoshio soon was hit by one arrow after another. And 300 arrows launched in his body. Yirmiah, who knew that he was doing the wrong thing, had been following him close behind, and rushing and running so that he could get to Yoshio and stop him from fighting with the Egyptians. He knew that he shouldn't be doing that. And Yirmiah finally caught up with Yoshio. But the moment that he caught up with him, Yoshio was ready, dying. It was too late to save his life. Yirmiah ran into the room where Yoshio was held, and he bent over him and he noticed that Yoshio was lips were moving. Yirmiah thought perhaps he's saying complaints against Hashem for the moment of death is great tzaddik, complaining, saying the wrong things. And when he bent over him, he heard these words, tzaddik hu Hashem ki fihu marisi. Ribbono shel Olam is right, I deserve what happened to me because I rebelled against what he told me. And when Yirmiah heard that, he realized that Yoshio was a tzaddik till the end, and Klal Yisrael didn't deserve his presence. Yoshio began to cry, and he said, through HaKodesh, the fourth chapter in Eicha, which we learned last night, Eicha Yuan Zohav Yishna Ketem Atoy, that's the kina over the death of Yoshio. And he also was Masakin of Hakronen, that from that moment on, whenever Klal Yisrael gathers together to cry over Torah, they should include a kin of Yoshio, over Yoshio. And that's what it says in the Pasuk in the Rayonim. They coining Yoshio on Yoshio, but probably heat Suba al Sefer Kinoi, the heat of Chayt Yisrael, it says in the But he looked like the Israel that actually said he made a takana to say his kinnah. And therefore, when we say this kinnah of Eicha Elipa in the Mayelos, written by our blogger, Kali, or might have been his kana for all we know, it was very, very early, we're actually being the Kayim, this takana that Yirmiah made. I'd like to take a look at a couple of the words in here so you can follow it. You'll be able to notice if you remember what I just told you. But let's see a couple of lines. Eicha Eli Koyin Me'elov, the crying words of Eicha, the crying word of Eli, they cried by themselves. Then the Shmoina Shana, he was only 8 years old, Eicha Nidrash Me'elotov, he got to search for Hashem and Torah. And the souls of Nechon, the Mitzvim, come from Chon. Ofram, when they pass through the country, they camped against him, like Uzkar, like Tigrin, and that moment it wasn't never to him the greatness of his actions, how he brought all the dogs to the children. Kamachal Malchi Yisrael, Asher Kono Lizar, even among all the kings of Kal Yisrael, that tried to fence in and bring back Kal Yisrael to Shuvah, like Kam Kamayu, he might have been there, there was none like him from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, our Hebrew, the name from Moshe Rabbeinu. Dovak was faithful, Tonin Hador, he had these Tonin, those who agreed to that with him. Dera Beir stopped in it, Asher Kamu Acher Abel of Kustor, that they arranged the Abel Yisrael behind the doors, like I told you before. It's G'day in the afternoon, they have to spend a little time to go through all of what it says here. But take a look, go down a couple of lines, we'll just see a few more words. Shiloh ha-moinai lechet haram na-harayim. This is the word of the king of Israel, Har Nechoy, speaking to Yashiyahu. Allow my masses to go through your country to haram na-harayim. And the next phrase is Yashiyahu's answer. Laman was Tavor Cherub Solshu Zechariah. I won't allow them so that even the slightest sword shouldn't pass through Zechariah. In the country of Eretz Yisrael, that section is the section of Zechariah. Lo Shoma Lachoyz Elosha Bacharaya, and he didn't hear the Novi, he didn't listen to the Novi. Yirmiyah, who told us to go back. Zechariah, Dixirah, Zechariah. Go down another couple of lines where it says, by Yoru Hamoyrim Lamelech Yoshiyahu, you get to hear the full flavor of this powerful kingdom. By Yoru Hamoyrim, the shooters were shooting their arrows on the king Yoshiyahu. By Tenu Oitzen Enoch, and he was still closing his eyes, he gave Yoshiyahu, which was sparkling in his body. Chayt after chayt, arrow after arrow, Hamoyrim were shooting the lustrous and pressing. They captured him, they made him like a target for arrows, by user Kubosh Loshme and speaks him and they shot into 300 arrows. And then it speaks about how Yirmiyah caught up with him. Khalid, like one, he went to run very quickly. Yirmiyah with him. Those who accompanied him. He to Ashram bent over him. And Zoin Moitz of Siyu to listen to the words coming out of his mouth. Until the moment that his neshama squeezed itself out of his body, Maso Petiu was actually beautified. He drew a source of Yitzhak Petiu and pronounced from his mouth with the breath of his lips, Tzadiku Hashem, the eventual in the Tzadik. Parisi Petiu rebelled against his commandments and was told later, Koine Olof called Eichel Yuam, the Lord. Another line or two. Yirmiyah was the Koine and the taught the capital of Eichel Yuam and all those on Yeshiyahu. I just like to mention Yeshiyahu, the story that we can identify with. He didn't start out being the great tzaddik that he was. He started out in a very simple way. He started out in an environment where he was actually prevented from learning Torah and prevented from growing in Yiddishkeit. The people around him tried to hide these things from him. And yet he searched. And he knew that there was something beyond the foolish things that he was being taught. And he grew until he realized that he has the responsibility. He has to change his mitzvah, his purpose in life. Chazal tell us the most wonderful statement possible. They say that when Yeshua was shown this, they declared it. And in the Sefer Torah it said, Or Asher Lo Yotiv Ben Kliver HaTorah Hazoy, that there's a call on a person who doesn't do his best to speak to the Shabbat Kiyam HaTorah and Kvali Shroh. Suddenly stops and says, Olai Lavokim, the job is mine. I have to take that responsibility. Yeshio saw that there were things to do and he was not growing for it. And he stopped at nothing until he felt that he brought Kvali Shroh to a very high level. And he did. And he did succeed. Despite all this that happened to him, he remains Adayar Majed, a symbol and a model for what a Yid should try to accomplish with his life and what he should try to be. And therefore, we have to feel the sorrow, we have to feel the personal tragedy, the loss of Kvali Shroh. Yeshiyahu, when we say that.
Skip Oli and go straight to Eikoi. Eikoi is a kina that's built on taking the word Eicho and splitting it in half. E and Koi. And actually, I pointed out that later on, at the end of the next kinnet, perhaps they were mixed up. At the end of the next kinnet says, Drovnu lahomir l'shoin echo b'l'shoin eikoi. And perhaps that kinnet belongs in front of this one. But whatever it is, by splitting apart the word echo and saying eikoi, the Python, Rabbi Lozar Kali, brought out a very powerful and deep thought. And this is what he describes in this kin. The word koi is a word that's used very, very often. It's used throughout Tanakh and connected with many, many of important incidents in the history and the life of Klal Yisrael. Starting with the Ovis HaKdoshim, who said some of their greatest mamorim using the word koi. And going to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, the word koi is associated with the Beis HaMikdosh, with the Mishkan, and more than anything else, all the way at the end, with the many mamorim of the Nevi'im who said koi Omar Hashem. And now that we're in a condition of Churban, and we're in Golus, and we look back on what we lost, we look back on these many, many marvelous and wonderful things that are so important to Klal Yisrael, which use the word koi. And here are a few of them. E koi, oimer. Where is that statement of koi that was, oimer is a statement, koi reis la'ov befetzach, which was used as a bond, as a treaty with Avraham Avinu, who's the father of the Fetzach, in the following expression, Bevris ben Absorim, and it says, Koyil Zarecho, Koyil Onetzach. Next to these, each phrase where it says Eikoi, and it mentions one of these things that I said before, next to that there's a statement from a kapitel in Tilim, which speaks about the Churban. Hey Nato, and now Bulu Atzomai Beretzach, my bones are being swallowed up and destroyed with murder. Lomo Lakim Zonachto Lonetzach. Those words at the end, up from the capital in Tehillim. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it seems as if you rejected us forever. The next koi that we speak about, a koi, is about the koi in the Akedah, where Avron and Yitzchak told in the Orim, Neilcho ad koi. The next koi speaks about Yaakov Avinu, where it speaks about the sheep. Im koi yoimar nekudim yischorecho, the older kol atzoy nekudim. By Moshe Rabbeinu we find the word koi vayifen koi vachoi. That's the next thing that's mentioned over here. Where is that koi? Vayivahorag mitzvi began hakoidesh vayifen koi vachoi vayarki enish. The next koi that we speak about is where Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Paroi and he said the word Koi, Paroi should send out Klal Yisroel. And then again we speak about the Koi that's mentioned in connection Koi Omer Hashem Bachatzois Halaylo with the Makas Bechoyres and the Yotzei V'Soich Mitzroyim. And so on, you could go through the Koi of the Bracha of the Koyanim. Kois of Orchus b'nei Yisroel, Omer Lohem. It says over here, E Koi Siach Shishim Ois Yisakdumas. There are 60 letters in Birkas Koyanim. Where is the Koi of the 60 letters of Birkas Koyanim? Kois of Orchus b'nei Yisroel, and so on. And all the way at the end, we have the Koi of the Leviim, Koi Sasolem Lutarum. And at the end, we say, E Koi Teshuas Asomei Oitzor. Where is all those kois? Where are they all, which speak about the tshuas of Hashem Yisborach and these treasures of the words of the Nevi'im, the koi omer asher lachoizim notzor, with the many times koi omer Hashem, which was especially put aside for use by the Nevi'im, the choizim, and admosei lakim yichorev tzor. And now, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're in a condition where the enemy is ridiculing us and insulting the holy name of Hashem Yisborach and being Michal Hashem Shemayim. And you could notice the different kais as we're saying the capital here. Try to feel sort of an emptiness. One of the things that we're supposed to try to accomplish on Tisha B'Av is to sense something that's missing, the sense of loss, not to be satisfied and to be happy with the world that we're in. Sometimes we feel that whatever we have is just right and that we're missing nothing. But when we begin to look back at what used to be during the time of the Yovois, during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, during the time of the Nevi'im, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and suddenly it dawns upon us that there's more than we have now, and we then call out in anguish, "Ei koi, where are all these wonderful kois that we had in those better times?" And then we could open up our hearts and plead with Hashem Yisborach, "Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuv v'chadeshuveinu k'kedem." I will skip the next two very long ones and go to the one that says Zechor Asher Oso Tzar Bifnim. That's a kina that speaks about something that took place during the Churban Bayis Sheni, and it's about Titus Arosha, who personally commanded the armies and participated in destroying the Bayis Sheni, and we're told that he entered the Heichel and he saw the large Paroiches, and he decided to attack the Paroiches, because the Paroiches, in his delusionary thinking, the Paroiches was Kiviyochel, the Koyach of Hashem was in the Paroiches. He lifted up a sword and he struck the Paroiches, and drops of blood came out of it. And he thought, that who knows what type of life was contained in the Paroiches. And then we're told that he decided to do some terrible, terrible aveira inside the Kodesh Kadoshim. And the Yidden who saw what he was about to do was shocked. They thought that perhaps the lightning would come down from heaven and destroy him. After all, if somebody would walk into the Kodesh Kadoshim with improper thoughts, they could lose their lives because of the tremendous Kedusha that there was in the Kodesh Kadoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, since it was the time of the Churban, so there was no such intervention, min hashamayim, and Titus Arosha just kept on doing these terrible things that he did. We're told that he took out from Eretz Yisrael, we're told about how he divided his armies into four and told that each of them should destroy one of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. And then he held back on the fourth one. So three walls were destroyed and the fourth was allowed to stand, and that's the Koisel HaMerovi that we have until today. And then at the end, we told the story of the 300 children. Titus HaRosha decided to load up three ships with children that were captured, Yiddish Kinderlach, and he would take them to Rome, and he would bring them to the Romans, and they would do all their averus and terrible, disgusting things with the children. And they filled up the ships with these children, and they were traveling over the sea, close to each other, and the children began to realize what was going to happen to them, and they decided to be Moisa Nefesh for Kiddush Shem Shemayim. At first they asked each other if they were allowed to take their own lives, and the oldest among them decided, yes, in such a situation it's better to take your own life than to go and be brought to Rome and live a life of Tumah. And so in one moment they stood at the sides of the ship and signaled to each other, and all the children jumped over the side and fell into the water and drowned themselves. You take a look at the end where it says, Hashiveinu Shivu Kevo B'nivcha Yom. They screamed out to Hashem Yisborach, Hashiveinu, as they were falling into the waves of the sea. Shitfu Atzmom Yachad L'npo V'yom. They joined together. And Shir V'sishbochos Shoriru Kal Yom. They knew that they were experiencing the great mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and they decided to do it with Shir and Shevach, to praise Hashem Yisborach for the opportunity to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. And they sang a song just like the Yidden sang when they passed through Yam Suf. And then we throw in a tefillah, Ki Tzachoyim Bo Ad Nafsho. They came and they lost their nefesh, falling into the deep waters of the Tehoim, called Zois Po Asnu. All this happened to us. And yet, we didn't forget about you. And we end with the words of Baskel Nishma, and there was a voice rang out from the heavens, and Hashem Yisborach remembers and is going to bring the Geula, and this great act of Kiddush Hashem is going to count very, very strongly into us. It's a symbol of the devotion of the Yid to the Torah, to Kedusha, to the life that we live. And no matter what the circumstances are, but never to allow ourselves to be so weak as to accept, Chas v'Sholem, the treif in the life of the Goyim. The Romans might have been victorious and they attempt to rip apart the Beit HaMikdash and to tear it into shreds, and to do everything they can to obliterate, to get rid of Klal Yisrael. But we are here learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and it will be like that forever at Bias Goel till the end of the world. And the Romans came and went, and so do all the other nations. All their attacks on us were only temporary, and even our Golus is only temporary. But we're here to serve Hashem Yisborach and to live a life of Torah. I'd be as Goel said. L'cha Hashem Atzoka. We skip a few of them. Bo'oi sois asher efleisa miyoz v'yadatum. Bolonu boishes haponim. And try to pay close attention to this kinnah, because it brings out a very, very, very important yisoid, which we are not allowed to forget even for 1 minute. L'cho Hashem Hatzoka v'lonu boishes haponim. Ribbono shel Olam, to you is justice, whatever you do is right, and to us is boishes haponim, is embarrassment and shame because we did so many wrong things. When we cry over the Churban, let's never forget that the destruction and the Golus are all things that we deserve because of the Averis that Klal Yisrael did in the past and the ones that they're doing now. Otherwise the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt. And we should never complain thinking that something happened to us which was wrong, Chas V'Sholom. And whenever we hear people who go around saying complaints against Hashem Yisborach about the Holocaust or about this or about that, we could cry bitterly over everything, and we should, and we should feel the pain of every single year during these terrible times. But Chas V'Sholom ever to think that Hashem Yisborach did something that is not our fault. Lonu boishes haponim, l'cho Hashem hatztokov, l'onu boishes haponim. And this kina has every stanza, which puts side by side something for which we have to be so thankful to Hashem Yisborach, and for the wonderful good things that He did for us, and yet we responded so many times with things which are so shameful and embarrassing that it's painful for us to recall it. Let's take a look at some of them, and you'll be able to follow perhaps the others. It's also written by Rabbi Elazar Kalia, but it's not in such a difficult, complex style like some of the previous ones. L'cho Hashem hatztoka b'oisois asher hifleisa me'yoz v'yadato. Ribbono Shel'olam, how good you were to us with the nisim which you miraculously did from the beginning till today. The lonu boishes haponim, and how embarrassed we are. The v'china, and the test asher netzrafna, which we were tested. Voisonu tiyavta, and you rejected us. We came out losing, and we didn't pass our test. L'cho Hashem hatztoka b'goy mikerev goy l'kachta m'masois. How good you were to us when you took our nation out of the nation of Mitzrayim with all the oisus and moisten that took place then. And how embarrassed and shamed we are b'doifi with the falseness asher nimtza bonu k'maasei ha'masois, which we had in us when we copied their actions and behaved like the Mitzrayim. And take a look at each one. Go down with a couple of them. When you gave us the delicious palm of the mon. And here it says that we brought korbonis, soilus shemen advosh, which means that they mixed honey into the korbonis. It's not clear what that refers to exactly, but later on you have more of that. L'cho Hashem hatztoka b'kilkul mon be'er v'yamud onon. How you fed us in the desert, the midbar, and yet we called the mon lechem akloikel and complain about the mon. You go further down, you'll see things which are more close to us. L'cho Hashem hatztoka b'kimas shiloi v'noi v'givayin b'eselonet. Look at how good you were when you set up for us the various Bote Mikdash, the one in Shiloh, the ones in Noiv and in Givon, in between Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, and then Beis HaLomim, which is the Beis HaMikdash, the first and the second. And yet, Lonu Boishes HaPonim, how ashamed we are, the Resha Shenimtzavonu, with the evil that was found in us, Shechorvu, when each of them were destroyed, was destroyed, Ubonu, Onu Nechlomim, and how we ashamed by remembering this. We speak about the two churbonos and so on. And the last is very important. Lonu boishes haponim kisova ish hamudois hatei elokai ozmecha ushmo. That refers to the tefillah of Daniel. And Daniel said those words, hatei elokai ozmecha ushmo, listen, Ribbono Shel Olam, and accept our tefillahs and restore us and bring us back. And when we say lonu boishes haponim, it's not just that we're ashamed and we say we deserve it, but we're using the Lonu Boishes Haponim in a different sense. It's that we're showing how we're mispalel to Hashem Yisborach, and we throw ourselves on his mercy, and we ask him to listen to our tefillahs and to answer them. And when we're mispalel with boishes upon him, the tefillah has a greater effect and it's more valuable. And that's what we should also think when we say the words Lona boishes upon him, that we approach you, Ribbono shel Olam, pleading with you, please answer our tefillahs and please bring us the Geula Shleima. Adi Albona Nadir HaTorah is a kina that speaks about the Asura Haruge Malchus. Chazal tell us that during the Kufa of the Kurban, there were 10 of the greatest tzaddikim of all time that were brutally killed by the Romans. Among them is Rabbi Kiva, that we're so familiar with, we learn his Torah throughout our lives. Among them is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who was the prince of Klal Yisrael, Reb Elozer, many that we're so familiar with. And they didn't die natural deaths, but they were killed, and mostly for teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. The Romans tried to obliterate the Torah and to destroy not just the bodies of Klal Yisrael, but more than the Shomet. Now, the Asura Haruge Malchus, there were 10 of them. There were only 8 mentioned in this one, and probably because some of them, the Nusach was not copied completely. It's an ancient kina, and it's something we don't even know who the author was. But surely there are all 10 of should be mentioned and probably were at one time mentioned in the kina. Now, there's something that's extremely important here. Arzei Havona Nadirei HaTorah. I'd like if everyone could reflect on something that the world appreciates heroes. The world sings songs about heroes. And all nations have heroes. And they look up to certain people as being very, very exceptional and worthy of admiring and singing songs about. People who stand head and shoulders above the crowd, who do very dangerous things, and who have great courage and great character, and remain the heroes of the nation. It's like this throughout the world. But Bederech Klal, in most of the world, the heroes that they admire and that they worship are heroes that are victorious warriors, people who fight, people who conquered, and people who did brutal things and hurt other people. The fact that they're murderers, the fact that they acted without Rachmonis, not only doesn't it take away from their admiration, but it adds to it. Because this is what people are looking for. Fearless, courageous characters who go riding around and killing people and conquering people and making themselves strong and famous. This is what the rest of the world looks at. Klal Yisrael has no regard for people like this whatsoever. People like this, in our eyes, are just plain murderers. They're the lowest of the low. They mean nothing to us and they have no importance. We have our heroes. But our heroes are much different. Our heroes are people who are heroes of the neshama. When we think of the Bekiva, that's the hero that we admire. The person who learned Torah for 24 years in a row without stopping, he gave up everything, and till he taught all of Klal Yisrael Torah, who had the finest character, the finest midas, and the greatest Yerushalayim, the person that we would like to grow up to be, the person that we feel achieved what a human being is supposed to achieve. The power that was shown was not the power to hurt other people, but the power was the power to control oneself and to focus every thought and every act and every word only on what was right, and what was for the purpose of being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. These are the giants that we look up to, and that we tell ourselves, Halavai, Halavai, I could be a little bit like him. That's the hero that is powerful and fearless, because nothing in the world, there's nothing in the foolishness of the world that everybody runs to get for themselves, that these people are interested in. They're not blinded by empty things, but they're ready to be valiant warriors, so to speak, for the Torah HaKadosh. And that's how we start. Arzei Halvonai. There are people who are like cedars of the Levonai. Those are the famous trees that grow for 1,000 years, and they stand singly, and they look like powerful, powerful monuments, these ancient trees. Adirei HaTorah. These are heroes of the Torah. Balei Treisen, they carry shields. The old heroes are always pictured with a shield, fighting. But they also carry shields. What shields do they carry? Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and his chaverim. The Mishnah of the Gemara, that's their shields. They carry Mishnah, they carry Gemara. That's where they get their power from. Giboire Koyach Amaleho Ventara, people who have such human strength, superhuman strength, but their work is done in purity, in Kedusha. That's what they fight for. And now, on Tisha B'Av, when we sit on the floor and cry, Domam Nishbach V'Noshes HaGvura, look at how the blood was spilled so horribly, and then the Gvura was lost to us. Hinam Viza Kedoshe Haruge Malchus HaSorah, the holy 10 people who were killed by the Roman Empire. That Malchus, Gal Eila Nibachi of any Nigra, and for those I cry, and my eyes drip with tears. We're told the story of the first two, which are Reb Yishmael, Kohen Gadol, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the Nasi. These two, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, were brought the Roman ruler, and they made a goyrel who they would kill first. Take a look what it says. The words are fairly easy to understand, but look at the next line. Yadu goyrel mirishon lechere brura. They threw a goyrel who would be chosen first to be killed by the sword. Kinfoil goyrel at Reb Shimon. And then the goyrel said that Reb Shimon should be killed first. Poshat savoroi uboha kenigzer gzeira. And then Reb Shimon chazer hegmon lehorga benefesh mitzura. He stretched out his neck, and the hegmon, the Roman official, killed him. And he now was dead with his head lying next to him. Mizera Aaron. And Reb Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who descended from Aaron HaKohen, Shaul asked, Bevakosha, please, Livkos al ben Hagvir, before you kill me, I'd like to shed a tear over this holy prince. Not al Roisha, he took that head. When the sonai al arkevoisev had put it on his lap, menoira hatahoira, glowing menoira, some einav alainav, and he placed his eyes on the eyes of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who piv al piv in his mouth, on his mouth, the ava gemura with such perfect love, and he said, Onav yomar, peham is gather bat toira, look at this mouth, so powerful and toira. And then we're told about how this horrible monster, this Roman official, took Reb Shmuel Kohen Gadol, and while he was still alive, peeled the skin off his body. Chazal tell us in Masechta Avodah Zarah that the Romans kept this skin of Reb Shmuel Kohen Gadol, and they would take it out for centuries, every 70 years, and they would make a huge parade in Rome and carry around the skin of Reb Shmuel Kohen Gadol. Look where it says Rosha HaPoshet, the Rosha was peeling off his skin, Eis Higia L'mkaim Tfilin. He was still alive when the skin was being peeled off from the Tfilin on his forehead, from that place where the Tfilin is. mitzvah bora, this pure mitzvah. Tzok to oka. The pain was too great to bear, and Rabbi Shmuel gave that one stream, and then he died. And his daza oil on the eretz his peyora. The whole world trembled, the heavens trembled. Chazal tell us that the Malachi Ashores were crying bitterly, and they said, how could such a thing be allowed to happen? And Hashem Yisbor said, it's too deep and impossible even to explain to Malachim, and they shouldn't say anything further. Me'achrov, after that, Heviu is Rabbi Akiva Oiker Horan, Rabbi Akiva who ripped out mountains. His mind was so powerful that he took every problem and every difficulty and reduced it to nothing. He explained and showed, understood, and made everybody else understand the hidden things in the Torah HaKdosh, and he had answers to all the questions. It's as if he pulled out mountains. The Tochnon Zuba Zuba Sfora, and with his thinking, he ground them up one against the other. And what did they do to Rabbi Akiva? Sorku with the Sora of the Master Shalbarzal Hishtabra. They tried to break his spirit by using cones of iron and scraping the skin of his body, which was now being ripped to shreds while it was still alive. And Yotzel Shmosik Yechod, Vaskol Omra, Ashrech Rebbe Akiva, Gufach Torah, Homei Torah. Rebbe Akiva, who kept quiet and didn't say a word while all this was happening to him, when he saw that his life was going to be lost, he called out in a powerful voice and he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. And with the pronunciation of the word Echod, his neshama left him. And a voice rang out from the heavens, Ashrecha Rebbe Akiva, you're the purest person in the world. There's no way to be purer and to have more Torah than Rabbi Akiva. We're told the next the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova. And here it says, the Kitzer, but Chazal tell us that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova was the one who gave smicha to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And he chose a spot which was in the mountains, far away from the cities, because the Romans had said that any city where there would be smicha given, the whole city with all its people would be destroyed. And he was killed. Reb Chananya ben Tradion, afterwards, Chazal tell us such marvelous things about Reb Chananya ben Tradion. And one of the things he did was that he taught Torah during times when the Romans said that whoever teaches Torah would be killed. And he gathered large groups of people and he taught and taught and taught until all of Klal Yisrael knew the Torah. And yet, when they caught him, they decided to punish him in a way that would make him into an example for everyone else. They wrapped him up in a sefer Torah, and then they surrounded him by wood, and they put wet cloths of wool. That's what it says over here. Yoshe v'doresh v'sefer Torah imos v'hikifu v'chavle ismoirim. They surrounded him with twigs. That's a ur hitzitzu behem. They lit a fire to them with krachu b'sefer Torah, and they wrapped him up in the sefer Torah. And svugin shol tzemer hinichu al liboy shol yomitz beheira. They wanted him to suffer as long as possible, so they put these wet cloths of wool around him, between the sefer Torah and him. And what happened was that the pain was so great that there was a Roman soldier standing there who said to him, "Rebbe, I'll help you die more quickly, but promise me. And if I do that, I'll go to Gan Eden with you." Chananya ben Tradion said, "I promise you." And he pulled out the cloth of wool, and he jumped into the fire, and in that one moment, he died along with the neshama of Chananya ben Tradion that went up to the heavens. The next thing we're told is about Rabbi Yeshevov, who was killed by the Romans. And the last two that we have here is Reb Chutzpitz Avaturgamo. Chazal tell us such marvelous things we're learning here in Megillah, the third parish, this in camp this summer. And we had a lot about the Turgamonim, people who spoke words of Targum. But there were some who had an amazing power. The Chutzmas HaMeturgamon was able to take a maimer that the greatest Tanoim said and use words which would make it clearly understood to everyone. He could take the most difficult subject and put it into such words and such phrases that the Torah was absorbed by everyone who heard him. He was called a Peh Mapik Margolios. It's as if diamonds dripped out of his mouth as he spoke. And he too was killed by the Romans. And the last story that's told here is about the Rabbi Ben Shavua, who's so familiar with him. It's mentioned all over Shas, Rabbi Lozer, the Tana, there's another Rabbi Lozer who's an Amor. And about how he was killed while he was making Kiddush on Shabbat. And the last part, I'll just go through quickly, Kohena v'Kohena, Hoisifu b'nei Avlo la'anois b'g'orim. Many, many more besides these, throughout the generations, not just in that tough period of time, but later, until today, the Rishoyim tried to kill and torture the Gdolei HaTorah, the Tzaddikim, because they knew that as long as Tzaddikim are alive, Klal Yisrael will live, and there's nothing that they could possibly do to the Jews. And we plead with Hashem Yisborach, Yetiv Hashem, Fala Yosef Oyv L'Yasra, please Hashem Yisborach, be good to us. Don't allow us to suffer anymore. Ameit Birkayim Koishlois, strengthen our wobbly knees. Chelek Yankov, you Hashem Yisborach, who is called Chelek Yankov, U'Moshiach, and you help us day sore in the time of suffering. U'Tzedek Yimloch Melech, let the King rule Hashem Yisborach, the Yomer Sholmu Yimei Evleif, that the time of Yisara should be over. And I just want to mention very briefly, when we look at these heroes, these Giborim of Klal Yisrael, not just in that time, but throughout the Doiras, the Doilei Torah are the ones that we admire, the ones that we'd like to be. And if they're lost, and if there's a Gadol Batorah who's no longer with us, then his place has to be filled. New Talmidim have to grow and spend their lives at work to become Gadolei Torah so that they could fill the void. So while we're sitting on the floor and crying about the Asura Haruge Malchus, let's also say to ourselves, who's going to fulfill the role of the Gdolei Torah? Who's going to take their place and give the world the Torah that the world needs to hear? Let everyone, every yeshiva bachur, young and old, dream and try to grow and to develop and to become a Gadol Batorah. We won't become like Rabbi Kiva, but that's not our job, to become what's impossible. We have to try to do the best that we can do with ourselves. And while we're crying for the loss of the Torah, we have to have the courage and the resolve to begin the work that we could accomplish if we had that strength and that courage, and restore for Klal Yisrael the Boire Tara that we speak about in this kinnah, but let's identify them with them. Every time we speak of a Gadol Batorah, and every time we think of one, and every time we hear about one, we should try to tell ourselves, I don't know if I could succeed, but I'll try my best. Maybe the Rebbeinu Shlomo will give me the Siyata Dishmaya, that I'll have the chus to grow to be great in Torah myself.
I say all for honor, I did it.
It speaks about a totally different period of time, which is much, much closer to the world that we're in today. This is the time of the Crusades. There was a kufa lasting about 200 years, where the Goyim in Europe sent group after group of soldiers and princes and kings who traveled to fight and take away Eretz Yisrael from the Arabs, from the Turks, actually. Because early, about almost 1,000 years ago, 930, 920 years ago, the Turkish powerful nation came out of Asia and adopted the Muslim religion, and then they decided to take over the Eretz Yisrael and establish a kingdom over there. And the Christian pilgrims who visited what they call their holy places were being disturbed and not allowed to visit their holy places. So they came back to Europe and pleaded with the kings and said, "You must go and defend the rights of the Christians in that part of the world, Palestine." So thereupon began what they called the Crusades. Soldiers and peasants and empty-headed people, murderers and all kinds, the whole rabble of Europe decided to go and march and go from town to town until they reached Eretz Yisrael and there fight against the Arabs and against the Muslims. The world likes to glorify that period, to take the kings and treat them like heroes, and the fighters in the Crusades like soldiers, to speak about the wonderful things they did. The truth is that during this period of Crusade, they were the worst source for Klal Yisrael. They were anything but holy people. There were a motley crowd of all kinds of Rishoyim. There was nothing romantic and nothing holy and nothing heroic about it. In fact, Chatchila, when the Crusaders began to march from France and Germany, instead of marching towards Eretz Yisrael, they marched away from Eretz Yisrael. How come they marched away from Eretz Yisrael? Because no one knew where Eretz Yisrael was. And so they asked, there was an old lady who said she knows where it is. And she had a goose. And she said, "Follow the goose." So the goose marched north, and the old lady followed the goose, and the people followed the old lady. This is what the writers of that period tell us. Whether it's accurate 100% or not, we don't know. But what we do know is that rather than go to Eretz Yisrael and fight what they considered the infidels and the enemies, and so on and so forth, they went to the north of France, where it bordered on Germany, along the banks of the Rhine, where the great, great centers of Torah were situated, where the greatest of the Rishonim lived. And when I say the greatest, I mean the very greatest, whose Torah we learn day in and day out all our lives. Rashi lived there. And it was in these cities, especially where Rashi taught and learned, where the Crusaders came. It began in the year Tatnu, according to the Goyish accounting, that's 1096. And the Crusaders marched along the banks of the Rhine, getting larger and more massive and more violent as they went. And later on we're going to have a kina which tells us the story of the great Kehillas that fell and were completely destroyed during this time. Vermeise, Ashpir, and Magense. But that'll be in a couple of kinas further on. Right now, we have here the story of the Harugei Reinus. The Harugei Reinus, this took place after the fall of the three great Kehillas near the city of what's called today Köln. And there were Yidden, among whom were the greatest Talmid Chachamim, the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbeinu Kloinemus, great yeshivas, tzaddikim, people who brought up their children to become nothing different than Gedolei Torah. This was their only goal in life. And when they saw the Crusaders coming, they knew from previous experience that all the promises of the Goyim, the barons and the bishops to protect them were worthless. And they knew that the end was near. And so they ran away and tried to hide, and they gathered near the banks of the Rhine River. And they could hear the rumbling and the screaming and the shouting and the shrieking in the distance. And as the Crusaders came closer and closer, they realized that the end was near. If any child would be captured, he would be taken to a monastery and brought up as a Christian. And the elders would be tortured and brutalized beyond words. And so they decided that they should rather take their own lives. And they pulled out knives and swords, and they spoke and encouraged each other, and they said, "We're now about to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and we're going to make sure that none of our wonderful, gentle, innocent children ever fall into the hands of these people who will turn them into Ovdei Avodah Zarah." And so they took these weapons and killed themselves, and only one or two survived who were able to tell us over the story of what happened. And it's these powerful, passionate words that we use to cry out to Hashem Yisborach on Tisha B'Av. And it would be kedai to go through this kinnah. It's hard to imagine words that could be more passionate, speaking of love for the Torah and the devotion of Klal Yisrael to Hashem Yisborach. I'd like just to take a couple of lines in the middle of it. See where it says, you know, there's different prints over here. See where it says in the bottom, I guess about a third of the way into it, maybe where it says, "Benizvadu b'prishesu v'Torah." And on the new Akinas, it's on the bottom of page Lamed Dalet. The older ones, it's on a different page. Finisvadu v'prishus uv'Torah, they got together in holiness and purity, v'kadesh shem ha'godol v'anoira, to be mekadesh the great, awesome name of Hashem Yisborach. The ish es ochiv chizku v'ezra, and they encourage one another and help one another. Lead dovek the yira tahora, to cling to the pure yira shemayim. But li kroyel avodah zarah, never to bend to avodah zarah. Lo chosu gevurim ugvira al ponim tzviras tefora. And they had no mercy on the beautiful faces of their wonderful children. Aval ozru gvura yaseira, but they clothed themselves in great courage. La loim rosh v'likra shedra, to break heads, to break spines, to kill their very own beloved children. And listen to these next words. You're shuddered by even thinking of what it says here. Hey, leimai dibrei bamira, dibru bamira. And they spoke to them the following words. Loi zochinu l'gadelcham l'Torah. We were never zoicha to raise you to Torah. Nakrivchem ka oila b'aktora, will bring you as a korban, like a korban oila, v'nizke imochem la'oira, and will be zoicha together with you to a light, hatzfuna mi'ed koil v'alumu, which is hidden from everyone, that hidden light of Hashem Yisborach, which is reserved to great tzaddikim. Oz hiskimu g'doyle m'ktanim, the old ones, the young ones, all agreed, v'kabil mi'avu din shoichet mi'oinim, to be mekabel with love the gzeira of Hashem Yisborach, with the kenim, with the shenim, rananim, old young ones, they were the first ones. And you go on, and it's kedai to look through this and say it slowly and try to get every word. But then I'm going to just skip to the next stanza. and listen to the after the story is told. Torah, Torah, Chigri Sak. And now we appeal and cry out to the Torah. See what happened. Chigri Sak. Wrap yourself in mourning and sackcloth. It's Palshi Baforim. Roll in the dust. Evel Yochad Asiloch. And cry out as a person would when he lost his only child. Umispe Tamrurim. And say Hespeh them in bitterness. And here, from this word on, we have a picture of the way we feel about Gedolei Torah, about Talmidei Chachamim. Al toivsei mishoitayich uforsei mechmorim. On those who guide the ship of Klal Yisrael through stormy waters, who spread the nets, malochayich v'choivlayich, your sailors, your navigators, the mayim adirim, in powerful waters, orchei marochich, those who make plans to battle for you, miyashrei hadurim, those who straighten out difficult, crooked things, mefanchei tzunayich, those who reveal hidden secrets, umegalei mistorim, and they reveal the deep understanding of the Torah, mi yekatze bigvoyes, mi yesateis behorim, who's left to plow the mountains and to take away and resolve all our problems which are like mountains, mi yeforek habayis, who will answer our questions, mi yetoreis shavorim, who will explain the stiras, contradictions, mi yafli naziris and mi yarech nadorim, who will be able to open up the nadorim and be matineder for people. There was one someone who explained this difficult line in a very interesting way, and he said that if we find all the Masechtas in the time of the Rishonim were explained fully, we have the Tosfos and Rashi, everything that tells us perfect chat in all the Masechtas, except for two. One is Masechta Nedorim, and the other one is Nozir. Because the Rishonim were killed during this time, and the period when the yeshivas would have been learning Nedorim and Nozir was a period of the greatest destruction. And when these tzaddikim were lost, so one of the permanent losses was a full treatment like Tosfos and Rashi give us of Nedorim and Nozir. And that's why we cry out over here, Mi Yafli Naziris and Mi Yarech Nedorim. Take a look what it says, Klei Melchoma Ovdu. The weapons were lost. Noflu Giborim, the heroes fell. Ashrehem Maschilim Kurakia Zoir. Oh, how wonderful it is for them that they had this wisdom, that they glisten and glow like the heavens. And now Bimenucho Sholom Yot Nochu Yeshorim, they rest in eternal peace. They died Al Kiddush Hashem. And when we look back upon the Harugei Reinus, we look back upon Eden, whose lives were so filled with Kiddush and Tara, who to us are the symbol of everything that is of any value, anything that is important to us. How wonderful, how marvelous were these Yidden, these Gedolei Torah, these Rishonim, these people who lived in such an unbelievable period. When we take a look at the Tosfos and the Meforshim that were created during these times, it's impossible to say that there was anything different than a vast community that was steeped with Torah. Look at what we're missing. We don't have any of that. We just have spots of Torah here and there. And it's all the bitterness of the Golus. Ribbono shel Olam, please bring us back to all this. Who will guide us? Who will answer our questions? Who will explain things to us? This is what we cry out. It's passionate words like this that stir the love for Torah HaKadosh. Take an opportunity, like again, a couple of kinnas, four or five of them, to have this power and passion that's kedai to go through in the afternoon and use the time of Tisha B'Av to be ma'or oneself to Avelus, and at the same time a greater and more charged devotion to the Torah Kedosha.
אחרי שומי מן ריבד אבי אבי אבי
Yishmima tells us about an incident that happened in the time of the Churban by Hasheni, and it's a story that the Gemara tells about the two children of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godel, that same Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godel that we spoke about in the king of Arzei Hovona. It's Novi Chatosi Yishmima, just the first couple of words. Novi means my dwelling place, which is the Beis Hamikdash. Chatosi, my sins, Yishmima, destroyed it. What we speak about here is about how the son and the daughter of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godel were captured, and they were taken as slaves to Rome. And they were bought as slaves by two Roman citizens who lived not far from each other. One bought the son and one bought the daughter. And they couldn't get over the handsome, beautiful looks of the children of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godel. They had no idea that they were brother and sister. And one day the two Romans got together and they decided that they would join each other in an enterprise. Each one spoke about the nice looking slave that they had, and they said, why just satisfy ourselves with two slaves like this? Let's take this boy and this girl and marry them to each other, and then they'll have children, and surely the children will be as good looking as the parents, and we could make a business. We could sell the children for a lot of money as slaves, and in this way we could become rich. And they agreed to the deal, and they decided, they told the two slaves that they would be put together in a room and they would marry each other. And one time when they were brought together, and the Romans stood outside gleefully saying to themselves, from now on we're going to become very wealthy people, will have such handsome looking slaves and will sell them. In the meantime, the holy children of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godel knew what they were destined for, and they had no idea about each other at all. One stood in one corner of the room and one stood at the other corner of the room, and they began to cry. And they cried, and they poured out their hearts the entire night, until finally the light of dawn shone through the window, and they turned around and looked to each other, and they saw that it wasn't strangers that they were with the whole night, but it was brother and sister. And they fell into each other's arms and cried and poured out their hearts to Hashem Yisburach. And they died thus in a fit of tremendous feeling and emotion. And this tragedy is so personal and so meaningful to Klal Yisrael that Chazal tell us that when Yirmiyah said the words Al Eila Ani Bechiya, that there's something that happened, some things which caused me to become a permanent crier, Bechiya. The hint was, the remez was to the son and daughter of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godel. And this is the kinah that speaks about the story. You could notice it, it's very, very easy to follow. Just a few difficult words here and there. Go down two lines where you'll see where it says, Al Bein Ubas Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godel. Zichram, their memory, Yikoid Bilvavi Asima, lights a fire in my heart. Ace Nishbu, the time they were captured. Vinoflu Lushnei Adoinim, and they fell to two masters. They live near each other. They told each other about the things that concern themselves. The Omer, I captured and bought the slave girl who looked so beautiful, like the moon, Kalvona, and so on. Kitsi of Yamima over here are the names of Eev's daughters who were supposed to be very beautiful. That's what the Pasuk tells us. And Re'eu Sipalei B'Kiflayim, and his son told him doubly. Hein Ani Mishvi Yerushalayim. I also came back with some treasure from the captivity of Yerushalayim. Shavisi Eved Yifei Anayim. I captured a slave with such beautiful looking eyes, like the sun, Kashemesh B'Sokva, and so on. Boyu Nizav came, let's join them together, and we'll divide the profits of the children between us, because they'll surely have Lodai's children, like the stars of the heavens. L'shem Azois, when we even remember this, the writer is saying, Titzalna Oznoyim, our ears tingle with pain. It's still shocking to hear this story. L'zeicher Zois, es madai afrima, I tear my clothes in anguish to remember this terrible incident. And then we're told that they were brought to the room together. It's all easy to follow, but I'll just skip it. You'll see it yourself. And the masses were outside, gleefully thinking of the profits that they'll share. And the boy and the girl inside the room, without knowing who each other was, were crying bitterly. And then we're told what they were crying. Zay Yispoit, one said, right? Min Aaron, Eichel Shifra Yehei Noise. He thought the woman in the room was a slave. How could I, who am a grandson of Aaron HaKohen, ever be married to a Shifra? And she said, how can I marry an Evet? Or Boiker, look at the next one. Ze Ezeki Kiru, when they recognize each other in the light of the morning. Hoy Ochi, Vahoy Ochi Sigbiru. They screamed out, brother, sister. Nizdabku Yachad Vinizchaboru, when they clung to each other. Ad Yotza Neshmotham Vinishima, till their lives, the Neshamas left their body, and they breathed no longer. And because of this, Yirmiya cries out in desolation. I cry over this constantly. And it closes with the words that fit in with the piyut. Albeinu bas mispei ravar ima, storm with a great hesped, or the sichi v'yohima. This is the refrain words, or I'll cry out in bitterness with words, v'ahima, and I'll tremble, the coil in the heat, and the voice of crying, orima, I'll raise, lift up. As Novi Chatosi.